Tribe Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Mum Tribe Podcast. This is episode 2. You're very welcome along. We hope you enjoyed episode 1, and that's why you're back here, or else we'll just be talking to ourselves, which we'll probably
that's
do
okay
anyway.
Too. Yeah.
I'm Ellen. That's Erica.
Erica.
Today we're going to be talking about our birth stories. So if the last podcast didn't lose you, this one's definitely going to.
Maybe get a bucket or some kind of vessel to catch puke, because.
Have you done your birth story on Mum Tribe?
Kind of. I'm fairly certain I got a few unfollows that day though, because It was pretty graphic.
I know you have done birth stories and you welcome people sending in their birth stories.
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated with them. I'm genuinely interested because I just wanted to know, was mine normal? Apparently it was, but I think my recovery wasn't.
Okay. So one of my big beefs with the entire maternity system has been not as advertised.
Yeah.
So they're like, do all the courses and do all the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces.
Literally, you are in bits and pieces when you come out of the hospital.
Yeah, but like when, so they're talking about breastfeeding, they're talking about how to like change the baby, wash the baby, all that kind of stuff. And they talk about breathing through labour pains and they talk about pain relief, etc.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether... See, I don't know whether I could have been more prepared. So it's never going to happen again. I will never have a first labour experience.
I'd love to go back in
again.
Time.
Yeah.
Because when I was at the, you know, the what's it called? The prenatal class. I got into one like just by chance because apparently I wasn't quick enough registering, which is ridiculous. You're pregnant. You don't know what's happening. They don't let you in a car without learning how to drive. Why in God's name would they let you give birth to a human being without knowing what to do?
Oh, I gave birth to a dog, so I knew exactly what I was doing.
Seriously?
No, you're right, though. It's
yeah?
And, like, I know, listen, this isn't an attack on the maternity services by any stretch.
No, and they work so hard, but I just think that maybe it's what I took from it.
Yeah, or... maybe it's the content, because I think when you're around something all day, every day, there are things that you become desensitized to. So you don't really realize that, oh, actually, that's totally not something that someone was expecting.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, if new mums wrote the book might look a bit different. Now, everyone's experience is different, so...
It is, but I think, for me anyway... I always need to know every possible outcome. And I wish that I had known that there was a few different ways that your birth could go.
Yeah.
Like I asked in the class about an episiotomy and I think I called it an episemotomy or something. And everyone laughed and I was like, I don't even care. And the midwife drew a pair of legs and like a vagina and your bum and then like... had a little red marker and did a slash across the side and every man in the room went grey and every woman just held their bump.
Oh.
I
so
felt
she,
awful.
But she drew something
but she drew
you.
It
that's
and I
helpful.
Was like, that's what it is. And I kept saying, even in my birth plan, I said, I want minimal drugs. I want to go as natural as possible. I want to use the birthing pool. I want to do gentle birthing. I don't want any kind of help from them. And I definitely didn't want an episiotomy. And then everything opposite happened to me.
And I think that's interesting because my birth plan was similar. It was full of things that I wanted, but there was a lot of things written on there that I did not want.
Yeah.
And... I actually think that that's quite a negative way to go into it. So I did the whole hypnobirthing classes. I was too late, allegedly. So I was early registering the birth, but I was already too late to get the hypnobirthing classes because in Dublin, they're so booked out in advance. So I was due in February.
Yeah.
And the next available hypnobirthing class was May.
Well, I was just really cheap and I did it on YouTube.
Okay. Fair play to you.
But it didn't work.
Well, I signed up to it. I paid for lessons privately and I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And where it benefited me more was the end of my pregnancy. So it helped me relax and it helped what later was diagnosed as anxiety, but I never knew what that was, to just kind of fade away a little bit. But in my actual labour scenario, which I will go into in a moment, I just lost it. It just didn't happen for me. The support wasn't there, potentially because I did it outside of the hospital, or most likely, and I think more likely,
yeah,
the maternity services are so stretched. There was no one there to help me coach through.
When you say you lost it now, was it that you got to the hospital and then suddenly everything that you had learned went out the window?
So let's go for my birth story from here.
Okay.
I knew I didn't want to be induced. I knew I didn't want any tearing or any, you know, purposeful cutting or anything.
This sounds familiar.
I knew I didn't want an epidural. I knew I wanted to do no pain intervention whatsoever. Morphine doesn't work on me anyway. What? So all of those morphine-based ones were out as it was anyway. So it was only going to be epidural or nothing. Or paracetamol. We'll get to that.
Yeah, that really works when there's like an alien pulling yourself.
So yeah, I was all about breathing. I was all about my husband being there. I equally knew I did not want to do a home birth and I did not want to do a water birth.
Yeah.
So I just wanted it to be like the movies, basically, where you go, oh, look, my waters broke all over the place. Everything happened naturally. Yeah. And in I go to hospital and the baby pops out. And that was where a touch of realism would have quite helped.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I was told the realistic aspect and I just didn't hear it.
Possibly.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But anyway, I was due on the 26th of February. When I had my scan, actually, I had put my own due date as the 3rd of May or 3rd of March. And they adjusted me back to the 26th of February, which is my sister's birthday. Nothing happened on the 26th of February. All day long, I was just waiting for labour to just start.
Yeah, I know, I was the same.
Like a weirdo.
Any minute now.
3rd of March came and went. And then the 8th of March came along. And they were like, no, you're 11 days over. I think it was 11 days or 10 days or something like that. And that was the max for the comb. They were like, we're going to do a sweep. And if the sweep doesn't work, we'll induce you. Is correct.
Ugh.
Sweeps are not fun.
No. I'll tell you about my sweep in a minute.
Mm. I mean, I would liken it to someone getting
scraping
a tiny toilet brush up there and just literally just, you know, or the driest.
Yes, dry. It's very dry.
Mm,
it's like, very dry.
And just that sensation of just like twisting.
Yeah, or twisting. Like, do you know some people don't like the feel of cotton wool?
Mm.
That was like what it was for me. It was like cotton wool.
But it was like
scraping.
A gloved finger, apparently. But but yeah, it was dryness, dry, dry rubbing.
There's nothing sweeping around.
No, sweeps kind of sounds quite exciting.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, sweep, sweep, sweep. But no, yeah. Anyway, now that we've turned everyone off ever having a sweep, the sweep did not work. And I can't actually remember how long it was between the sweep and the induction. Maybe I went home and then came back the next day.
Mm.
But anyway, they decided to go for the pessary induction.
Yes.
All I knew was that I didn't want to do it. And I think going into something with that negative a mindset was always going to be a bad thing. I didn't like the room that I was in. I didn't like anything basically about the entire thing. I was so anxious. We had to be in there for something like 7:30 in the morning time. So I was wrecked as well because I hadn't slept the night before because I knew I did not want an induction. So then getting a pessary in is like getting a sweep for longer.
Yes. Or like this is going to be really disgusting thing. Like a Caniston tablet.
Yes,
but bigger.
And a big long string.
That's lovely.
Piece
I just told
to
everyone that I know what a Caniston tablet is like, or whatever. Now you know. I don't
now
care.
You know.
No shame.
And then they say make sure that it stays in, but also this little weird trailing piece of paper basically like has to stay in there and between your legs. And so then every time you need to go to the toilet, you're like, oh, is it still in there? Oh, am I gonna have to go through that again? Anyway. That was 8 a.m. So that all happened quite quickly. And then I was like, okay, so labor starts now. And they were like, no, that one may not even work. Someone will be back to check you at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And I was like, can I not go home? But at that point, they didn't let people having pessary inductions go home. Apparently, I think the Rotunda have tested it since.
Really?
So that would be a nicer experience,
yeah,
I
of
think,
course.
For women. But anyway, we went for a walk. That kind of kicked things off a little bit, but it was very low level. So 8 p.m. came. My husband, my hypnobirthing partner, was sent home. Probably
at
rightly
8 p.m.
so. Yeah.
That's really early, isn't it?
I don't know, but they said that was visiting times were over.
It's different, I suppose.
Yeah.
Cork versus Dublin.
Maybe. I was like, he's not visiting me.
Yeah.
We're having a baby.
This is his fault.
Yeah. So he was sent home. 9 p.m, of course, my contractions would start.
That's very similar to what happened to me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a sec. Go on anyway.
So then my contractions lasted for a minute every 2 minutes. And that happened for like 40 minutes in the hour. And then the midwife told me at about 2 a.m., but you're getting a rest for 20 minutes. And I was like,
thank you.
Oh, oh. So there was lots of sitting on the bed, getting hooked up to the monitor. Please sit still. And I was in the height of a contraction and she was saying, please sit still.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was. And so I tried to listen to my hypnobirthing tapes, but I just couldn't focus. Even in those 20 minutes, I was just so exhausted. So 5 a.m. came around and I think she had checked me and I was like 3 centimeters or something like that. And she said, so at that point I said to her, she was saying, you can take some more paracetamol. So I'd taken paracetamol at like midnight and she was going to let me take some more. And I was like, it didn't work. I just need something more.
Yeah.
So she talked about one of the morphine-based ones and I was like, well, they don't really work on me. So it was at that point that she was like, well, maybe we can talk about the delivery suite if there's one available. You seem to be progressing quite well. So I was allowed to call my husband back in. So he got there about an hour later and... like we've discussed it since and he was like, I couldn't get over the sight in front of me. You were just in bits at that point.
Really?
He was like, I could tell you had no sleep. You were like on the ball, bouncing with your head on the bed, on your arms, literally just going like
wheeling.
And breathing.
It's very kind of like animalistic, if you want to call it that. Like you just go and to like a different place, don't you?
Yeah. I don't remember an awful lot of that, which is quite good.
Oh, I do. The grunting. There was a lot of grunting and not in a good way.
Those ball things are great. But I just couldn't find a comfortable position to be in.
Yeah.
But what surprised me was when he came in, I felt a bit more secure in the whole thing. So I wonder, had he been there a bit longer, would I have been a bit more successful?
Yeah.
Anyway, we got down to the delivery suite around 7 a.m. and I demanded an epidural. I demanded an epidural. I was like, give me an epidural now.
How far dilated were you at this stage?
So they didn't check me beforehand because they got me to lie up on
the
bed.
Oh my God.
Like, I could not lie still. And I nearly rolled off the bed a couple of times. And they were like, oh, catch her, catch her, catch her. So my husband thinks that he is Superman now that he caught me from rolling off the bed and killing our child. But yeah, so that was kind of just, it was really... quick and crazy when we got down there. And then so they gave me the epidural. They hit bone twice on the way in and the anaesthetist kept on apologizing and I was like, just give me the epidural now. And then his assistant told me that I did really well, so I'm quite proud of that because I had a massive contraction right as he was just injecting the third time. And she was like, I've never seen someone sit so still having a massive contraction. I was like, that's how much I wanted.
You wanted it, yeah.
Epidural.
Yeah.
Then straight after the epidural, they checked me and they were like, oh, you're 9 centimetres.
No way.
Yeah. So it all progressed quite quickly from there. But the epidural was fantastic. I'm a massive fan of epidurals now.
Absolutely.
I relaxed completely. My pushing was less than 45 minutes. Baby never went into distress.
45 minutes?
Yeah.
That's really, really good.
Yeah. So about 40 minutes in, the only thing that panicked me was stop pushing. And I was like, oh, why? What's gone wrong? Is baby okay? They were like, we're just deciding whether we'll cut you or whether we'll let you tear naturally.
Ugh.
They are some of the most terrifying words I've ever heard. I was like, no, I don't want to be cut.
Was there a pause?
Yeah, yeah. She was just like... well, you don't have a choice as to whether we cut you or whether we let you tear naturally. But she let me tear. I couldn't feel it because I had an epidural, so I didn't really mind at the time. So I had a second degree tear and they just stitched it up afterwards and I've never had a problem with it since. So I think I'm probably...
You are so lucky.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of the lucky ones. But yeah, she was quite good in that she was like, we're going to make a judgment call here. So they literally stood there and looked at me like a set of building plans. And they were like, okay, we think she's going to tear this way and that would be better than a cut yeah. for the healing and this, that and the other. And then the only mistake that I made was one of the midwives was in training and they were like, we had delivered and they were like, oh, do you mind if we train her on stitching up? And I was like, what? No, it's grand. An hour later, I was still sitting legs akimbo. Getting stitched back up again. And the epidural was like in all this time, so it was longer than it probably should have been. But listen, it was, she did a great job.
Yeah, well, she obviously did a great job. I had a doctor and like I'm like Frankenstein's bride now.
No. Oh.
Well, not anymore. Anyway, we'll get there. Oh.
But then I got baby. I didn't really know what to do with him. We latched him on. He breastfed. We had a successful-ish breastfeeding journey. Yeah. There was no problems with latches or anything like that. He had a tongue tie. We got it chopped shortly afterwards. But everything was great. Kind of then at that point, you know, we'd gotten through labour, etc. And then my nightmare started. So I never got checked into my bed afterwards. The ward was jam-packed. There was so many people there. I changed a couple of nappies because I used to work in childcare. So changing nappies wasn't the end of the world. I actually changed one of my nephew's first poopy nappies. So it didn't intimidate me at all. But I just threw them in the bin. And I never, to me, poop and wee in a baby kind of comes together.
Them, don't you?
Apparently. So they put them down as no proof of urine. And on before our second night, they ended up taking him away to run tests on him. So, you know, he was less than 48 hours old and they took him away from me. And I just didn't really know what was going on. There was so much crying in the ward. I was so exhausted at that point. I was kind of in shock because nothing went the way I thought it was going to go. And it just from then on, motherhood just overwhelmed me. But what I can still, looking back at it, it's just the lack of knowledge that you kind of go...
Yeah, absolutely.
How did I not know? But if someone told me all that, would I still have done it? Yes, I probably would have, because I wanted a child at the end of the day. So I don't think you can be too informed.
I also think, though, that even if someone tells you how it's going to go, you probably have it in the back of your head, well, that's not going to happen to me, because that's the way it kind of went for me. Like that now, with my birth, I got a sweep. So I got a sweep on my due date, which is the 26th of August. And I was waiting in CUMH, which is Cork University Maternity Hospital. And if anyone has ever gone there, I'm sure it's the same in any maternity hospital, but like you're waiting for ages and there's men sitting on chairs and they're like man spreading or whatever it's called. And you know, you're like, get up, I'm heavily pregnant. And they don't. So I was already kind of in bad form because I was like, I'm about to drop this child. Is there any chance I could sit down? Got into the room and the midwife was lovely, but she said to me, I hope you don't mind now, my hands are cold because you're my first mom of the day. And I kind of went, oh, well, I didn't really want to picture you with your fingers up everyone else's vag, but look, that's just the way it's going to go, so grand. So I was lying there and she started, and I can only describe it as, you know, scary movie. You know, your man with the hand. What's his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
And he's like, you just put it in you. Squeeze it all around.
Oh God.
And it's like this withered hand, and yeah, it's like one really sharp nail, and it was like she had one super sharp nail, and she just scraped me like kind of like peeling like layers of me away with her finger, and I just nearly died. I actually pulled myself up on the bed and was like clawing to get away from her. Wow. And I remember thinking to myself, if this is a sweep, what is it going to be like when I actually go into labor? So I was a bit nervous. I went home and I just thought, like, you know, that, you know, it's obviously going to happen today, everything is going to be fine. It didn't. I ended up on my all fours, scrubbing my floor with bleach because I was like nesting to like, I didn't realise at the time I have like a touch of OCD, but I really have a touch of OCD, and like I love bleach and I love Dettol and Milton and all those kind of like, you know, kill every type of bacteria known to man. So that's all I did for the day. I just scrubbed everything and everything was so clean. It was just like you could have eaten your dinner off my toilet seat. That was that clean. So I remember I did that. I painted a changing unit in my house. I was like, this is going to kick like labour off now, everything will be fine. My husband had just started a new job, so I was on my own at home. And I remember after doing all of that, I said, like, I'll sit down now. And, like, you know, obviously I'll feel loads of kicks. Because, you know, when you sit down after you've been really active, the baby is just, like, all over the place. And I remember sitting on the couch and I didn't really feel any kicks. And then I moved to the bed and I lay down. You know, the way they say, like, you lie in a certain position, have, like, a fizzy drink, have something sweet. Did all of that and there were still no kicks. And I started to get a bit worried then. So I rang my sister because she was at home. And I just, like, explained the situation to her and she said, look, let's go get it checked out. And I was very calm. I had my bag, I had everything, and I was like, look, it's going to be fine. There's obviously a reason. Maybe it's the way that he's lying, it'll be fine. So we got to the hospital and they brought me into A&E and then they hooked me up to this machine. And I thought at the time, I just didn't know what was going on. So when they hooked me up to the machine, his heart rate was like going up in a massive spike and then dropping way down again. And I remember my sister saying to me, oh, you know, that's because he can hear our voices. He's like getting really like excited and then it's dropping down. But actually no, his heart rate was really erratic. So they put me on a drip and they had some other thing in my hand anyway, and they just said to me, look, we're going to have to admit you and we're going to induce you because his heart rate is like, we're not happy with it, basically. So at this stage then I started like bawling, crying. I was like, is my baby going to be okay? Is he alright? Because that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, something's wrong with him to say that his heart is going like that. But they really reassured me that, you know, look, these things happen all the time. We're just going to keep you in. It's very important. And then, of course, like, I just couldn't be normal about it. I managed to pull the line out of my hand and it was like something out of The Exorcist. There was like blood spurting everywhere. Yeah. And you could hear the nurse going, oh, okay, right. And I was like, oh, Jesus. There was like actually really heavy pregnant women next to me, probably thinking that something really bad had happened to me because there was just blood shooting out of the curtain. But went up to the ward, and like that, now that night I just did not sleep at all. They had the monitor on me 24/7, so they were coming in and checking me. And sure, how can you sleep? I didn't want to be induced. My birth plan said no induction, no pain relief, no episiotomy, water birth, you know, start the labour at home. All of those obviously went out the window. And they said to me, look, if it doesn't happen naturally overnight, then we'll induce you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So like I was just praying. I was saying, oh, please just let me go naturally up and down the stairs and CUH, trying to get it ticked off. Nothing was working. So they gave me the first pessary, like, you know, and I just thought, oh, this is rotten. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep walking now and obviously it will kick in. I remember ringing my mom the night before saying, I'm up in the hospital, and like she's very posh and she's very, oh, she's like, Jesus, the child, are you all right? And then I started crying. So like I was just in a heap that day.
Yeah.
So walking around, nothing was happening, nothing was working. It got to, I think, about 5 o'clock and they moved me to the induction ward because I was just in like a day ward or whatever the night before. They moved me there. They gave me another pessary because it obviously hadn't worked. And I remember they gave me like a plate of salad. It was really hot. And that was like my, you know, the way they call it, your tea in hospital.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not your tea. It's your dinner. I don't know. Yeah. It just annoys me. Anyway, they gave me my tea and I was like, oh God, like that's just not what I want right now. I don't want anything. And my sister and my mom were with me in the induction ward, and because my husband was still at work at this stage, I just told him, I was like, just behave as normal. And as soon as the baby's coming, then I want you there, because I just wanted him to have as much time as possible with us afterwards.
Yeah.
So they were there and I remember they were just trying to like keep me in the conversation and like chat to me, and I got really irritated and I was saying like, just stop talking. And what I didn't realize is that the contractions were starting and I was obviously in pain, but I was so kind of out of it. I was like, oh, I'm not in pain, I'm not in labor, nothing is happening. So anyway, the real contraction started at 7 p.m. And they like, yeah, they were quite low, and my husband came from work, we went for a walk, and I don't know why I did it, but we walked past like the labor rooms, the labor suites, and I heard this woman screaming, like just blood curdled screaming. And I remember looking at my husband going, oh my God, I have to do that. And he was saying, ah yeah, but yours will be totally different, it's grand, you know, like, sure, they don't know, and they obviously don't care that much either, because it's not happening to them, nothing's yeah. getting ripped out of them, or, you know,
exactly, yeah.
stitched back up or whatever. So walked past the room and yeah, I was quite nervous at that stage, went back to the the induction ward, and people were coming and going and coming and going, and I was still there. And there was this one woman, and I just felt so sorry for her. She didn't have a word of English, and her husband was kind of communicating on her behalf. And like, I've always explained it as, it was just like barnyard noises she was making, like these groans and grunts and screaming, and like, it was awful. And like that, I had the gentle birthing music on in my ears just to drown it out. So I'm like riding the wave of contractions while this woman is like, wah! And her husband's like, no pain relief, no pain relief, no pain relief. And I really felt like going over to him and giving him a clatter and saying, like, she needs something. She's obviously in agony. Didn't work anyway. So she went, she had her baby. Three more people came in. They all had their baby, and I was still there.
That's the horrific part as well, isn't
it? I was like, why aren't I next? Like, what is, why? Just get out of me. Get out, get out. You're ready to come out. You're ripe. Come on, let's go. Yeah.
Please leave the mommy house.
Like, now. So, yeah, I was in the induction ward, and it came to 11 p.m. So in Cork, it's 11 for the dads to go home. And like,
I thought
that,
you were going to say, in Cork, 11 p.m. is the equivalent of Dublin's 11 p.m. It's like, yeah, we're in the same time zone.
No, 11 p.m. they came around and they were like, well, you're not in active labour, so your husband has to go home. So he was kind of delighted, because he just, we don't work well when I don't feel well or he doesn't feel well together. So because I was really irritated because I was in pain, I didn't want him anywhere near me. I am the type of person, if I'm in pain, I just want everyone to leave me alone and then I'll be fine. But I also want people around me. I'm very needy, but I want to be left alone. I just want someone to kind of like poke me every once in a while and go, are you okay?
Yeah.
Not like rub me or, oh God, no, no, thank you.
Compassion, not touching.
And he's awful at compassion, so he doesn't work well doing that. So that was 11, and at around 1, the doctor came over to me with the midwife, and she said, we're just going to check you. And she was like, oh, you're 3 centimeters, and we're just going to and burst my waters. Didn't ask me nothing. Now, like, they're trained medical professionals, I'm sure they, like, of course they know what they're doing, but I was in shock because it was just like this river of sludge, like, you know, it was just disgusting all over the bed. It was warm and like very thin jelly, and I wasn't expecting it. I thought it would just be like wee, do you know? And so they like, just gushed, and I got such a fright. I was like, oh my God, what did you do? And she was like, we just burst your waters. I was like, why would you do that without asking me? So then she burst my waters, and I stood up because I got like such a fright, like, that I was on the bed, and like, you know, I just couldn't cope. Stood up, and it just gushed all over the floor, like, went under into the next cubicle in the induction ward. It was on the ball. It was everywhere. It was so disgusting. And she was like, don't move because you'll slip. We have to mop it up. So I was saying, like, Jesus, how much fluid was there in my body to say that you need a mop? And now it's all over the bed and it's all over the floor. So they cleaned it all up. And then I got really paranoid that I wasn't in labour, that I just really had to go to the toilet.
Okay.
So my bed was right across from the toilet. So every 5 seconds I was like, oh, I just have to go to the toilet. I'll go in. And I went in and I was just sitting on the toilet going, I can't go. I can't do anything. What's wrong? But actually what was wrong was like my baby's head was just like pushing down.
Yeah.
And because the rest of the midwives are so busy with the incredibly busy induction ward, everyone popping out their babies, I was kind of just left to toddle back in and forth, you know, just kind of going, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to go this time. And nothing actually happened. Got back on the bed and the contractions just ramped up. Like, oh, they were quite bad at that stage. I was on the bouncy ball again and that wasn't working. It wasn't helping me. Standing up helped me a bit, but then I was starting to feel really sick, and the pain was, you know, the way the pain wraps around you. It's not just your stomach. I thought it was just going to be my stomach, but I couldn't understand how my like, it was every muscle in my torso was tense.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, lying down would be better. And I remember saying to the midwife, like, I don't want pain relief. I definitely don't want an epidural, but I might go down the route of the pethidine and the Gasonair. So I remember asking her, could I have Gasonair? And she said, oh yeah, of course you can. You could have had that ages ago. So I kind of went, oh, thanks, cheers. Like, you know, so.
I couldn't have Gasonair.
Why?
Until I was in the delivery suite.
What?
So they don't do Gasonair in the wards. That was why I had to go down to the delivery suite. I forgot that.
Well,
yeah, it's
I
mad.
Tell you, I sucked that tube. Like, I don't know. I've never sucked anything like it in my life.
I thought it was useless.
I didn't even breathe. You know, the way they're like, you have to take it out and breathe.
Yeah.
And then suck okay, no, I was like, it was in my teeth. I just bit it and I was like, okay, this is going to help. Yeah, like a horse, pretty much. So at one stage, actually, I was over the bed and going through a really bad contraction and like sucking the life out of this gas and air, and someone's tea and toast had been made. And I could hear the clinking of the tea or whatever, you know, the tea cups and stuff. And then I smelled the toast and it was just like flipped my stomach and I puked all over my bed. So not only did they burst my waters on my bed, it was now covered in my vomit. And like, all, I remember looking at the midwife and thinking like, she must think I'm so disgusting. So she'd come in and yet again, like strip the bed and put more stuff on it. Eventually they just gave me like waterproof like covers, because I'd say they were like, this one has just way too much bodily fluid and it's coming out of every orifice. So that was fine. She gave me all of that, and then that was 1 o'clock. Contractions were bad, keep going. And then at, I think it was 5 o'clock, they came in to check me, and I'd gone from like 3 centimeters to 8 centimeters. Because I wasn't really making a big deal about it. I got pethidine in between and I had to lay down for it. And that is the trippiest thing that I've ever gone on in my life. Like, I've never taken drugs or anything like that. But like, you know, when you have like a lot to drink and you come home, do you remember when you were in college and you'd go out and you get the spins and you're like, whoa, like you feel like Mr. Soft or something like that, or you know, like you're just like melting into the bed. And I was like, this is just so weird. I had that and that did nothing for me. It didn't numb any pain relief. I was still on the gas and air at this stage, so I was definitely like, I was so high, it was ridiculous. I was so high. It's a horrible feeling. I don't know why people want to do that, like recreationally. I just don't get it, but anyway, that's just me. So had all of those, nothing was still working. I got to 8 centimeters and she said, oh, we're going to have to bring you down now to the delivery suite. So I said, okay. And I was like, right, well, now is a really good time because I want the epidural now. And she was like, oh, but you're 8 centimeters, like, you know, you only have a few centimeters to go, you'll be fine. I was like, I won't be fine, I want the epidural. And like, I remember like trying to be very controlled and really nice, because someone told me like, be really nice to your midwife because like they'll be nice to you. And I was like, please, can I get it? So I had to ring my husband. He answered the phone and I was like, Dave, I'm going down to the delivery suite. Actually, I didn't even say that. I went, Dave, delivery suite, I think it was 5 baby coming. And they hung up the phone and they wheeled me down in a wheelchair. I tried to walk and they were like, there's no way that's going to happen. So I got down there and at that stage I was like writhing on the bed, sucking the gas and air, and I had the tube like stretched right above my head because I thought there was like a kink in it and I couldn't get out the gas and air, and sucking it and saying, it's not working. And the midwife saying, it's just like, you've gone past that point, it's not going to work for you now. And I really panicked and I was like, I want the epidural now. So in the meantime, my husband came in with like a travel cup of tea and touched my head and was like, hi. And I remember I was in such pain, I just caught his hand and I just pushed it away really slowly and gave him a death stare, as if to say, just don't touch me, this is your fault, I hate you so much. So I asked for the epidural and they said, oh, someone else next door is actually getting it. And I was like, I don't care, I get someone else. So they were like, no, we only have one person who's doing it right now. So I don't know, is that the way it always?
I think it's an anaesthetist has to do it. Yeah. So I guess it depends on how many people are rostered on. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. There should be one per woman, really. Like,
anyway. Two per woman.
Yes,
in
yes.
In case they hit bone the first two times.
Oh, God. So your man strolls in anyway after about 40 minutes of me like basically screaming. And he was like, hi, guys, let's just fill out some forms. And I was like, oh my God, signed the forms. Like, just, I kept saying, I just want it. And eventually I just like broke my no swear zone. And I was like, just give me the fucking epidural. So I think your man just thought I was mental, rolled me over. And then he was like, oh, do you think this is the middle of your back? And I was like, I don't know, you're the expert, you should know. Just stick it in my back. And then he stuck it in my back and it was like, sweet heaven, this warmth wrapped around me. And I finally like exhaled and I was like, oh my God. That was 6 a.m. and I went through how many hours? 7 more hours of pushing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And
at the end, they were like, okay, baby's heart rate now is really dropping down, Erica. We're going to have to do something. You know, we might just bring in a doctor there to give you a little cut. And at the time, I was like, well, all I heard was baby's heart rate is dropping. And I was really paranoid something was going to happen. So I just said, yeah, yeah, fine, yeah. So they cut me. And my husband had my knee up by my face, like by my ear. And he just thought he was so brilliant that, like, he literally had me bent over backwards to get the child out. And pushed him out, whatever, that was great. He was fine, he was all healthy. And then they said, well, we're going to have to stitch you up now. So, you know, just stay still, everything's fine, baby's fine. And then the doctor came down and started to stitch me. And then he said to me an hour in, we've run out of thread. So I just thought to myself, I thought I had quite a tidy area. But obviously not, or else they cut me really deep. So he came back with more. And stitched me for another half an hour. And yeah, I had to get, was it a pint or a litre of blood? One or the other anyway. And yeah, I was in bits. And like, the midwife brought over my son and she said, you want to try and feed him yourself? And I said, oh, absolutely. That's all I want to do. And try to get him to latch on. And he did in a way, like I didn't even know, like, what's a latch, like what's a good latch, what's a bad latch. So it looked like he was feeding for me. And yeah, eventually we got up to go to their room, but like, you know, I had all the bits and pieces in, and my niece was horrified because, you know, the catheter or whatever it's called was coming out of the bed, and she was like, what's that tube? I was like, that's where my wee is. She was like, oh my god, that is disgusting. But yeah, that was just the start of it, like, you know. After 36 hours I had to swap from trying to breastfeed, because I was hand expressing into a cup and syringing it into his mouth because he just wouldn't latch for me. Every midwife tried to help me, just didn't work. And then he went on bottles, and yeah, that was just the start of it. But I had, my episiotomy was bad. It was so bad, the pain from it, I actually thought I'd been cut on both sides. And when I asked my public health nurse, she was like, no, it's just the one side.
Wow.
I was in agony. But like, yeah, look, it happens. So in a way, they say that tearing is better because it's what your body naturally wants to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, mine was cut in a certain part. Maybe it wouldn't have.
Do you know what would be better way? Is no trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
In an ideal world.
I know.
That's tough, though. And that's a tough recovery then. So, like, it's like 6 weeks really at hard. Least anyway.
Yeah. And then my stitches burst.
Oh,
and then they wouldn't restitch me. And yeah. And then because I had, like, stimulated the milk in my breasts, my milk came in, but then I was trying to dry them out as well at the same time. And oh, that was bad. I remember just like being in the shower and like everything just being wet. And I was in agony and just crying and saying to my mum, like, when does this end?
Yeah,
you know,
and not wet in the way that it should be.
And it wasn't like that for a very long time either. Like, it's just, ugh.
But I guess, you know,
out the other side of it,
yeah, you know, and everyone kind of does go, but you got your baby. And then you go, but I would have liked a slightly better experience, because I don't regret it. And, you know, it's not that I need to change it in some way, but it just, I think, you know, if someone had told me this is all the stuff that's going to happen to you and it happened the exact same way.
Yeah.
I think I just would have just felt a bit more like,
you kind of okay, it. You're in control a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go, okay, I don't even think that I would have over-anticipated it. Mm. I think I would have just been like, okay, actually, I didn't realise that a lot of people tear.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of people put their hand up and go, give me an epidural.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, sometimes it's made out that, like, epidural is the easy way out. But you still have to push.
You still have to push. And actually, by the time I got my epidural, it didn't fully work.
Yeah.
So I had pain relief, but I had an awful lot of pressure. I had some pain, but nothing compared to what I had. But it's not a cop-out. I mean, look, fair play to anyone who doesn't have the drugs and can jump off the bed straight after having the baby and they feel fantastic, and that's great. Like, I think as well, we were both induced, and so we don't really know the pain of, like, a natural birth as such, like one that's not assisted to get you to give birth. And they do say that induced births are much harder than a natural birth, because it's going against what your body wants to do.
Mm.
Your body's like, no, the baby's grand, staying in me.
Yeah.
Whereas
there's been no kind of gradual, it's all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, people then say C-section is the easy way out. If you know anyone who's ever had a C-section, the recovery on that is insane.
Yeah.
And equally, like, natural births can be really horrific as well, you know. So I think I think a little bit more prep would be nice. But I think the one thing that totally stood out for me was how insignificant birth is in the overall the thing of picture. Becoming a mother.
Yeah.
And it's what is spoken about quite a bit. It's not the right detail, I think, that we actually need and the detail that we want. And then if it doesn't go the way that you thought it was going to go, you feel like a failure. Yeah, and you spend 3 months beating yourself up. And then you realise, oh, actually, it was a 24-hour period, or, you know, if you're unlucky, a 72 or whatever hour period of a lifetime that is to come. And it is actually,
really nice.
It's so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. You just need to get that baby grown and then get that baby out.
Yeah.
And however you do that, you know, I would say choose the way that's going to give you leave you with the least amount of trauma.
Yeah.
Because spending months beating yourself up that it didn't go as per your A4 page birth plan is just not productive.
Yeah, I think like they should say to you in the hospital, this is your birth plan of the way you'd ideally like things to go.
Yeah.
But have a backup and say you're open to X, Y, and Z. So that at least you're not like, oh, I'm definitely not getting induced. But if you have to be induced, you're okay with it.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, if I ever had another child again, which I really doubt I will, I would get that epidural straight away.
Yeah. As soon as you can pop it in, pop it in.
Yes. Yeah. That's not a euphemism.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, that's true. maybe don't pop it in anywhere. Maybe the popping is the problem. All right. So we're going to wrap it up there. We would love to hear people's birth stories. Mm-hmm. Again, at Mum Tribe Ireland on Instagram. At Mum Tribe Ireland.
Do you know what? The easiest way to send the birth stories is to email them. So mumtribeireland@gmail.com, because Instagram has like a cut off character. So yeah, send them in if you want us to read them out, or if there's any kind of funny things that happened during your birth, or anything that was like awful happened, and you know, I don't know, let's just get the conversation going. It's a natural thing. We're all here because our mothers gave birth, so let's kind of like take the taboo away from everything and just get chatting about it.
And I think if someone's doing maybe an Insta story and doing their birth story, if they tag you, you're more than
absolutely
happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Happy out,
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you found that interesting and not too disgusting.
Or traumatising.
Yeah. If you're pregnant, sorry, but it has to come out of you. So
just, it got into you.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Or maybe.
You pay for the fun then, Archer, don't you?
That's it for Mum Tribe Podcast Episode 2. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay tuned for more.
Bye-bye.